Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Today, I'm going to present to you one of the most forgotten doctrines of the church. But first, let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for thy divine anointing on the declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we pray, we get help from God, don't we? When we don't pray, we don't get help from God. That's why I pray every time before I speak to you. Now, our text comes from John 13, verse 20. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." If you have not been following me the last several months, we are in the Gospel of John, and we are at the point now where Jesus is just finishing the Passover meal. Judas has already left the table. The Lord told him, "Whatsoever thou doest, do it quickly." And our Lord is now beginning to give his disciples what we call final instructions. Because after the resurrection, there's practically no teaching of Jesus at all. The only thing that Jesus did after the resurrection is he appeared to his disciples a few times. He breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. He told them to go into all the world to preach the gospel, and that's about it. But following the Gospel of John from chapter 13 through chapter 17, we have tremendous teachings of Jesus. All of chapter 14, all of chapter 15, all of chapter 16, all of chapter 17 were given in those short hours of the night of that Friday morning before the trial and the crucifixion at 9 o'clock. So there's never been a night in Jesus' ministry, nor in the, of any man in the whole world, in the whole history of mankind, that has been so crammed, so packed, so rich with such powerful teachings as the night before Jesus went to Calvary. It was a night in which Jesus never went to bed. And the only time his disciples slept was probably in that 1 hour in the Garden of Gethsemane when they were supposed to have been praying. We can say that Jesus here was on a marathon run in reference to his teachings of him teaching his disciples. So in this short night, Jesus gave us the teachings on the Holy Spirit. He gave us the parable of the vine and the branches, and he gave us his high priestly prayer. But what I want to focus on today is that he, at this time, gave the church universal the doctrine of succession. As you well know, that whenever it comes to an earthly government, there is a concern about succession. What will happen if the president's term runs out? Who will take over, or who will take over if the president should be killed, or if he would leave the office for some other reason? So man has made very meticulous plans for succession in government. Either we have a designated follower, such as a vice president, who would take over, or we are letting the election process take its course, which generally begins about a year before a president runs out of office. We are very, very concerned and touchy about this matter of succession. In the realm of kings and kingdoms, generally speaking, the eldest son of the king will take the place of his father when the father leaves the office. Now, in the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus Christ, there also needs to be a clear understanding of succession. Who would succeed Jesus when he would leave the earth? Jesus had this question very much on his mind there in those last few hours before the crucifixion, and so he addressed this particular matter. Because, and I say it again, after the crucifixion, Jesus practically gave no further instructions other than the commissioning of his disciples. Jesus, at the Last Supper, told his disciples that he would go away, and where he would go, they could not come, So naturally, this was also the place for Jesus to tell his disciples how his work was to be carried on throughout the ages, with him not physically being here anymore. Jesus did not leave this question for man to answer, for boards and committees to decide. He himself would arrange for his successors. Dear ones, I'm in Jesus' doctrine of succession. So in verse 20 of John 13, we have these words of our Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whosoever I sent, receiveth me. Here, in just a few words, the problem of succession was settled once for all. This verse tells us that Jesus would continue to send men of God who would go in his place, who physically would go in his place, and that these men of God would be vested with the same authority that Jesus carried when he was on the earth. To the extent that Jesus actually said, whosoever receiveth whom I send, receiveth me. My friend, this makes it very plain and obvious that whosoever does not receive the man whom God sends as a minister will not receive Jesus and is no longer in the company of Jesus. Although he may say, I love Jesus, I love the Lord, yes, I forsook the pastor God sent me, I know he's a man of God, but somehow I can't accept some of his ways or teachings. My friend, if you leave the man of God, the man sent from God, then you're leaving God himself. That is Jesus' doctrine of succession. Now, I know some of you may want to pick up some stones and throw them at me, but I'll tell you the truth. I give it to you straight from the Scriptures. I'll read this verse to you again. He that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. You cannot receive Jesus without receiving his servants whom he sent. You can't separate the sender from the sent. And there are thousands or millions of people out there who have left their pastors sent by Jesus over something or another, and they're claiming that they still love the Lord, and they're still living a victorious Christian life, and they're still reading their Bibles and all that, and sending money to missions. My friend, if you look at those people very closely, you don't find the Shekinah glory on their faces. There's something wrong with their religiosity. There's something missing, because they have put something between them and God's sent servant and God's anointed one. They've put something between them and Jesus. And the only way they can get the Shekinah glory, the abiding of Christ, back into their lives is if they go back to the servant that Jesus sent as a shepherd of their souls. This teaching is of such great magnitude that Matthew also shares it in great detail in his 10th chapter. It was fully understood by the early church, where Christians laid everything at the apostles' feet. It is not fully understood, or not understood at all, by many churches today. This teaching is also affirmed in the first chapter of the book of the Revelation, where we see the picture of the triumphant Christ, not the suffering Christ, but the triumphant Christ, as he is now, having seven stars in his right hand, and each of these stars represents a messenger or a pastor. My friend, the only thing that Jesus has in his hand is his ministers whom he has sent. For they are very, very dear to him. And if you reject the ones Jesus has sent, the ones in his right hand, then you are slapping the hand of Jesus, and you are in disfavor with Jesus, and your fellowship with him is broken. The Revelation teaches us that Jesus does not have the lay people in his right hand, but only his ministers. And when you say of a pastor sent of God, well, he's only a minister, you don't understand what this is really all about. Yes, in John chapter 13, verse 20, you have the doctrine of succession. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomever I send receiveth me." And my friend, this doctrine is not new. It is also in the Old Testament. Those who opposed Moses and the prophets opposed God. So on Judgment Day, we will be judged by how we received God's sent ones. Matthew 25 contains three judgment parables. The first one is the parable of the 10 virgins, and that means we are judged by our purity. The second judgment parable is that of the talents, and that means we're judged by our works. And the third one is the parable of the sheep and the goats, and it tells us we will be judged as to how we treated the men sent from God. It says there that if we do not treat them with care and love and compassion, that we will be part of those people who will be cast into everlasting punishment. We will be goats rather than sheep. This is why we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 22, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Finally, what was Jesus' attitude towards those who rejected the servants God sent? We find the answer to that in Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus says to the Pharisees, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets." My friend, Jesus' attitude towards those who rejected God's sent ones is that he called them vipers, hypocrites, sepulchres full of dead men's bones, and he would have no fellowship with them whatsoever. Oh yes, as Jesus said, these people look good on the outside. He says they appear righteous unto men. They talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. So I admonish you, hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus' doctrine of succession. Take care and follow and help those whom God has sent. Separate yourselves from those who reject those whom God has sent. Jesus has already done that, so just follow the Lord. And know that if you touch God's anointed ones, you touch the very apple of his eye. Jesus has his servants in his right hand, and the right hand is the hand of government and authority. He will work through them. He will work within them for the good of your soul. And where they are weak, pray for them. And where they are wrong, ask the Lord to correct them. But don't you reject them, because rejecting them means rejecting the one who sent them. That is Jesus' doctrine of succession. And it came out of the wee early morning hours before the Lord's crucifixion at 9 o'clock that morning. My final word, if a minister is not in the right hand of Jesus, you have no obligation toward him, and you better leave him and go to one who is in the right hand of Jesus, and that will make a world of difference to your soul. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry, and goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.